Hello and welcome to the Maths Movie Reviews Podcast. I am your host, Matthew Perkovich, and this is episode number 595. Releasing April 6th in Australian cinemas is Before Dawn, a historical war movie in which a young man from the outback joins the Anzacs to fight on the Western Front during World War I. Based on true historical accounts by the soldiers who fought in the trenches and battlefields of World War I Belgium, Before Dawn tells a story of sacrifice and mateship in the throes of war, and does so with impeccable craft. And joining me now is the director of Before Dawn, Mr. Jordan Prince-Wright. Jordan, how are you today?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You know, this is interesting. You shot this movie in Western Australia. You just had the premiere last week, didn't you? How did that go?
I'm still buzzing. 1,500 plus people were turned up, which, you know, majority of, well, half of that was at least was people that were involved in the film, sponsors, supporters, cast, crew, etc. But yeah, I would be lying to say that I expected it to be that big, because we just never did. We never expected this production to get as big as it did. And being there at the premiere, I mean, the whole night was a blur. It still is, because I'm, like I said, I'm still buzzing from it. Walking down the red carpet and then looking around going, wow, 1,500 people have rocked up to watch this movie, which I directed. So, yeah, it's quite surreal.
So this is something of a passion project for you. Like, you wanted to make this film since you were, like, 15, right? And you, from what I understand, correct, you came across, like, a bunch of diary entries from the Anzacs in World War One. What was it about reading those diary entries back when you were a teenager that had such an effect on you that here you are, you know, what, yeah, mid-20s now, are you? And then
Let's go with mid-20s. That sounds good.
and here you are. The film's coming out this year. I think it's a really kind of remarkable feat on your part to stick with it and get that movie out there.
Look, yeah, I guess to answer the first part of your question, it was, I read the diaries, yeah, in high school, and I'd made a bunch of short films, and I've always been fascinated with history, Australian history in particular, and also learning, you know, from stories from granddad and that sort of thing. And yeah, came across these diaries and the stories and the events. Like, 1 minute they were talking about how harsh something was. The next minute, you know, he was talking about what they were eating or not eating. And it was just really raw, all this material, and seeing the different events from different soldiers' perspectives. But what really pushed it over the line is that when I went back and started talking to people, and 9 out of 10 people I speak to, I go, oh, yeah, World War One, you know, and they'd all go, oh, Gallipoli. And I go, oh, the 3.5 years that followed Gallipoli. And most of them weren't really aware of the victories. Yes, Gallipoli's the bloodiest battle, but they weren't. There was no awareness of there that there was Mezens Ridge, Hindenburg Line, Polygon Wood, etc. And that was the driving force that I was like, yeah, I got to make this film. I have to. And in fact, there was one particular person I spoke to when I was 18, when I was doing the first feature film that I directed and produced. And I spoke to this particular person. I said, oh, yeah, I really want to do this World War One project. The whole reason I'm making this Western is to kind of show that, yes, we can do this, and this, because we did a very unconventional way of producing and getting funding, etc. And I want to do it again, but on steroids, for the World War One movie. That's what I'm working towards. And I mentioned this person, you know, I said, yeah, World War One. And they said Gallipoli. I said, no, the 3.5 years that followed Gallipoli. And they turned around and went, oh, the Anzacs fought after Gallipoli. And it was just like, yeah, we have to tell this story. Yes, it's a remarkable story, but it's the awareness that I wanted to get out there to go, hey, look at what these men and women went through, their sacrifice, and it's because of them we get to live in the great world that we do today.
So originally you were going to shoot this, I think it was like, what, 2020 or so, and then COVID hit, right? And
yes,
it was a delay of like 12 months. And I've spoken to so many filmmakers over the past year about when COVID hits and they're sitting around and they've got a script, they've got production ready to go, but they can't do anything, how they kind of reevaluate what's in front of them. They may change things. They may look at things a little different. Is it the same thing with you when it came to this movie? Do you kind of like re-approach what you already have and then maybe, I don't know, did things change a bit in regards to what you could have shot compared to what was shot? Like, are you like...
Look, it definitely changed. But I think the funniest thing was, and those that know me, and they talk about this in the documentary a little bit too, those that know me know that giving me 12 months to now sit on a project was very dangerous, because it meant that I had 12 months to make it even bigger again. So, you know, we ended up having, yes, we had $900,000 worth of earthworks to build the sets to scale, But then all of a sudden I'm going, well, that scene that we had to kind of do and kind of had to trick a little bit, now let's go out and build the trench now. Yes, continue doing everything safely while COVID's around, but we've got 12 months here. I mean, let's build that set. Let's go and build the nurses' station even bigger again. Let's the sunken road that we were going to use a trench three times over and try and redress it, bugger it. Let's build three different trenches now. We've got the time. Let's do it. Let's make it bigger. Let's do more rehearsals with the actors. Let's get them to read other diaries. So I actually started contacting other museums and bringing more diaries into it. And whilst it wasn't having any direct relation to the story, it just kind of gave us a bigger world and a big understanding. So the extra 12 months made the project grow very, very quickly. And those 12 months, I mean, we bleeped and we were ready to be on set. And I'm a strong believer in everything happens for a reason. So I was like, okay, we've got 12 months here. Let's utilize that time. And I look back at it now and I'm like, if we went ahead and filmed what we were going to film before COVID hit, like, this film would have been very different. It wouldn't have been on the scale, I don't think, that it is now. It was going to be big, don't get me wrong, but we wouldn't have done things to, for instance, the $1.4 million that was spent on the Hindenburg line barrage. That was going to be semi-trick photography, so to speak. So we're going to do semi-CGI and some, some real. We ended up doing it all real because we had the time to then survey the entire area of the land, actually get all the proper machinery out there, drill holes in the ground, sit all the explosives over 6 months' worth. So the extra time we very much welcomed so that we were actually able to do the story justice.
The Maths Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by Fandango. Get the latest showtimes, guaranteed tickets, browse Rotten Tomatoes scores, and watch trailers with Fandango, the number one movie ticketing app. The Matt's Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by TeePublic. TeePublic is the world's largest marketplace for independent creators to sell their work on the highest quality merchandise. With over 1.2 million designs, TeePublic is sure to have something you love. The Matt's Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by Gift Card Store. Australia's leading provider of gift cards, Gift Card Store offers a variety of prepaid MasterCard and Visa cards in physical or e-card format. You can even design your own card as the ultimate personalized gift. With Gift Card Store, you can gift the gift you know they will love. Please support Matt's Movie Reviews on Patreon. Get access to exclusive content, request movie reviews and top 10 lists, and help support my work. Please click on the Patreon link in the description below. When it comes to making this film, this is a film made for the big screen. This is for the cinema. And you can tell just by watching it, and just you're talking before about the digging of the trenches. You guys filmed Western Australia, I think it was Esperance, right?
And it was,
83 acres of land, and you're building your trenches and everything.
Yep.
But, yeah. And then on top of that, you have also what it feels to me to be really kind of use of kind of practical effects as well in regards to explosions and all other sorts of stuff as well. When it came to that aspect of it and creating, literally recreating a war field, a battlefield, and having all these practical effects going on, what was that like for you to do so on such on a really big stage? Because I'd imagine that it will be a really tricky logistical process kind of pull a lot of that stuff off.
I think, it was logistically a nightmare, but we were so passionate and tunneled vision. This is what we're going to do, and that was it. If there's a problem, too bad. Let's find the solution and let's continue on. So it wasn't like, oh, there's a problem here. I'm not sure if we can do that. I'm not sure. It was just like, no, we're doing this, and that's it. We're going to keep doing it. I know I mentioned the Western before, but I'm very much those that know me know I grew up in the wrong era. You know, I love watching Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, John Wayne, back in the old, even right back to the golden era of Hollywood where things were real. And you can go back and now and watch some of those older films. And yes, the acting might be a bit iffy at times, but you can still sit there and watch it. Where some movies that come out, because it's filled with CGI, 2-3 years later, it's very hard to watch because the CGI has been outdated so quickly. So for me, as I've always loved that old school way of filmmaking, and also because if you're building an actual trench and you've got explosives going off or pyrotechnics, it creates a world that 50% of my job as a director, I think, is getting the casting right. And if you've got the casting right, half of your job's done. But then another quarter of it was actually we built the set. You know, we had pyrotechnics, we had everything for real. So now all it was is getting the performance and withdrawing what I needed to withdraw out of the cast and even the crew, because we were able, everything was there. It wasn't like we had to envision things too much. So it really created this, I wanted to create a real world. And 4 days into filming, we were already over it. We were over the sandbags, we were over the mud. It was the wettest winter on record down in Esperance. And that was only 4 days in. But then it was almost that night that we all discussed it, and we're like, well, we, at the end of the day, we get to go home. We get to sleep in a bed. We get to put Netflix on. We get to rest and then come back out to what we were essentially, we were reproducing hell of what the Anzacs went through. But we get to have that break. They didn't. And it added another level of authenticity, yes, to the film, but it added another level of why we wanted to tell the story, because we were experiencing close as possible of what those men and women went through. So I've always loved doing stuff for real. I mean, there's a lot of shots in this film which you'll look at and you'll go, oh, it looks like CGI, and it's actually not CGI. And it's, one crew member, post-production crew member, said to me, it's because our eye now is so trained on CGI that sometimes things, when they look real, we think they're CGI, and like one of our drone shops, for instance. So, for me, it's I always like doing stuff for real. The budget may not allow it, but if it doesn't allow it, there's always going to be a way to try and do it for real anyhow.
The big budget factor of the film is balanced with like this more kind of like psychological factor of the men themselves in the trenches. And there's a lot of feelings going on in the movie, especially in Jim Collins and what he's gone through. There's some regret, there's some cynicism, there's some shame in there as well, and a bunch of other stuff as well. When it comes to creating these characters and they're kind of like the emotions that they're feeling in that time, how much is taken from the diaries themselves? Do the men in these diary entries talk about these things specifically, and did you use that stuff to kind of like create the characters that you had?
Look, definitely. Some of the diaries didn't show much other than the events. So you didn't actually get into their minds. And then other diaries did. You could get into their minds, and they were actually very expressive about what they were thinking at the time. So as the director, my job working with the actors as well is going, okay, whilst this is the character, this is what he's going through, but we're not actually getting, we don't have the information, we don't know. So we had to kind of add that creativeness and add to it, yes. But then we had other source material, for say another soldier that was going through similar things. So we then were able to compare that and go, well, is Jim going through similar things to what the soldier is? If he is, that's what that soldier was thinking. And if he's not, why is he not? And look, hats off to the cast. I got to work with the best cast ever. You know, all of them were amazing. Levi, sitting with him regularly, talking about it. Travis, who played Nichols. Miles, for instance, who played the sergeant. One thing that we spoke from really early on is that he's a leader. But when you introduce him, straight away it's like he's a bit all over the place. He talks about the rum. He's got the humour going on. 2 seconds later, he's under a bridge, he's shaking, he's breaking down. Suddenly he hears that there's the Germans, or the Fritz, as they say in the movie, are coming, there's an attack coming. In a split second, it's like bang, second nature, he's back into leading the troops. And that's what it was like in the diaries, I found, is that they were just going from one emotion to another, to another, to another. And that's what I wanted to really try and encapsulate in this film, is that they weren't, look, no characters are one-dimensional, no human is, but these guys were put under such enduring circumstances and really getting into their minds. I actually found that was the hardest thing with this film, is portraying that, is portraying that sometimes they absolutely hated each other. 2 seconds later, they were best friends. And you just kind of go, how? You know, and the only way I found that I was able to direct it is I'd go, what would I do if I was in this situation? And the actors, we talked about that, what would I do? Well, at this point, I'd either be cowering or I'd be, you know, wanting to punch someone else or whatever. And it was very, very tricky. And to be honest with you, we just took each day as it came and each scene as it came, because it was otherwise, if you looked at it too much, you kind of lost everything, and we didn't want to do that. We really wanted to show all those intricate moments.
I think it's all part and parcel of like a, just a really remarkable achievement on your end, Jordan. It's an independent film, but I think it matches up with kind of like the big budget kind of stuff that people like will see in a cinema. And it's very rare as well, I got to say, to see an Australian war film in cinemas. I can only think of two in the last maybe 10, 15 years that have come out before this one. So everyone out there listening, please check out Before Dawn, released in cinemas this week. I highly recommend you check it out. And it's really good to watch it in time. Got Anzac Day coming out later this month as well. And I think it's really good to people to go out there and understand a little more about the wars outside of, say, Gallipoli, World War One, Kokoda, World War Two, and to see what else the Anzacs achieved, especially some of the military conquests that they were able to achieve during that time as well, in 1917 in the Western Front. I think it's really important. And Jordan Prince Wright, I thank you so very much for your time. Congrats with the film, man. It's so great that you got this out there. And
thank you.
It's ready to go for people to watch. It's a great story and it's a great film. So good on you, mate.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And I'm just looking forward to audiences going out there and watching the movie. And hopefully they get to go on the same emotional ride that I've been able to do over the last 4 years.